from Northern California. It's the PenPals.Buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
All right, now whether or not you believe in the death penalty here in America, I think you'll find today's guest very fascinating. It's an interesting story. Let me tell you, I'm watching TV on Sunday. My wife's been out of town for like, months. And I'm watching TV. I'm just flipping around. I see Evil Lives Here, The Killer Speaks, brand new episode. It was season 2, episode 4. It's called He Murdered My Mother. And I thought, that sounds interesting. So I turned the show on. I had it on my Roku. And there's Jimmy Tinch. And I said, oh my God, he's on our website. And I know this because we just created a death row section on penpals.buzz. And he's the first inmate in the section on the top left corner. I said, oh my God, I know this guy. Jimmy Tinch, Evil Lives Here, The Killer Speaks. And so we got in touch with him. I had Daisy contact him. We said, hey, Jimmy, can you come on the podcast? And, you know, we can delve a little deeper, as the AI would say. Let's delve in, as it always says. Let's dive in a little deeper and hear more of his story. We wanted to hear kind of what it's like on death row, how it differs from general population. Wanted to hear him give his side of things because, as you know, on some of these true crime shows, it's usually presented from the producer's point of view, and maybe all the information doesn't get inputted into the show. So we said, hey, Jimmy, you know, we'll give you a chance. You can tell whatever you'd like to say here on the podcast. And he said, sure, I'll come on. We gave him the phone number. And so we're eager to speak with him and hear the story. And it's a doozy, let me tell you. I mean, I wasn't at the trial, so I never judge unless I'm actually at the trial and see the evidence. But he was convicted of murdering his mother and sentenced to death. And according to the Evil Lives Here show, you can watch it, but there was like 1,000 pieces of evidence going against him, including blood on his shoes and palm prints from his gloves and footprints and him buying duct tape. You know, it was the same duct tape they found on his mom. It was 1,000 pieces of evidence. But he said, no, I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. You really got to sit through these trials to really see for yourself whether or not someone's guilty. I don't make it my business to decide just from seeing something on social media or on television. So I don't think he's innocent, but there's always that tiny possibility, that reasonable doubt or whatever they say. So Daisy, she's just finishing up a call. She's going to be coming in here. Daisy, can you get that? It's weird because like I'm 6 feet tall and Daisy's shorter and the microphones, we're always trying to get those. Can you just try to lower that one?
Oh, okay.
And then we'll get Jimmy on the phone. It looks like he's calling in now.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
It's raining in Ohio.
It's like hot as hell here in California.
All right, Dave.
It is.
It's like 94 here, and some idiot just turned the air conditioning off in the office.
Yeah, that sucks.
But hey, Daisy. Daisy's here with us. She's been working here for quite some time. And did you get to watch that show, Daisy?
I did, actually.
The Evil Lives Here, The Killer Speaks. And, man, that just came out. Was it Sunday night, right? Sunday night?
Yeah, it was Sunday night.
Season 2, episode 4. It was called He Murdered My Mother was the title of the show. And I watched that on ID. And then did you streamed it, right, Daisy?
Yeah, I streamed it.
If you want to see more about Jimmy, who's joining us today. There's a whole show about him, and I guess you're kind of famous now there in Ohio, huh?
I guess.
You said, like, people, guards were talking to you and stuff. They watched the show?
Yeah, a few COs. And one of them actually said that he could tell my sister was full of shit. Yeah. I guess that's a plus side.
You needed that guy at the trial, huh? That would have been nice.
Yeah, she never testified at the trial.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately.
That is interesting. It was quite a story. So you're on our site. You've been on penpals.buzz for, what's it been, a couple months. And you can go to penpals.buzz and either search for James Tinch or Jimmy Tinch, which is T-E-N-C-H. And there's a photo of you. There's some of your artwork on the profile as well. And then all the contact info. We just wanted to invite you on here to kind of tell a little, you know, your story and have some of our listeners learn what death row is like and how that's been for you. I imagine it can't be good. Just hoping we could give people a little more knowledge about, you know, what things are like in there. And you mentioned to me in an email, Jimmy, that you had been both in general population and on death row. I guess if you could just start out, like, just tell us how GP was and then what changes on death row, including like time out for rec and how the COs treat you and any differences you noticed would be, I think, very interesting.
All right. So jail population sucks. Like, they were open dorms. So, like, it was almost like a big warehouse with, like, 300 other inmates in there, and it just sucked. But going back and forth to court while I was in prison, you know, like, I was going back and forth to court, like, every 2-3 months. So I would come back, and I had a new bunkie and everything. GP was a lot more freedom. I mean, like, walking back and forth to chow and being able to be outside a lot more. You know, watch track, play basketball, softball, go to the library. Being able to be outside more and able to, like, walk to the library and all that, like, stuff outside the block, I guess, in the GP was better. Here in, like, on death row, Ohio has, like, probably the best death row in the United States. We all have our own cells, like, so we don't have a celly. It's not all like it seems to be, like, you know, in movies or other states, like, when we come out of our cell, we're not cuffed or anything like that. It's like, we get 8 hours out of our cell. It can be out of our cell for eight hours a day.
Oh, wow. That's totally different. I know Daisy and I, we watch a lot of the movies and the true crime shows and whatnot. Man, you're always seeing, like, guys, it's like people think it's solitary in there. You know what I mean? You see a guy, like, giving you a piece of bread and some water through the slot.
It definitely ain't that.
Yeah. 8 hours a day. So are you like you can go outside for that period, or are you like in a day room, or?
We get an hour and a half outside, like in like the actual like full rec yard. So yeah, we get to, you know, play basketball, work out, run the track, play softball, cornhole, you name it. So that's like our outside rec time. But like from the rest of the time, when we're not walking to the chow hall, like, we walk to the chow hall, no cuffs on, nothing, like, just walk over there, sit down, get our food, and eat there, and come back afterwards 3 times a day. But we all have a TV with cable, like, direct TV, and listen to music, just relax.
I think the last time that someone was actually executed there was 9 years ago in Ohio, or 10 years ago, or I don't know, 7 years, whatever it was, it's a long time.
Yeah.
And so it seems like highly unlikely that, you know, your execution would actually ever take place. Is that sort of how you're looking at it too?
As long as my petition's open in the court, I have a stay. I had an execution date back in 2022, I think September 13th, 2022. Obviously, they didn't go forward. It's crazy, like, just the whole, like, concept is of, like, death row here. Like, there's guys on death row here in Ohio. I'm 39. So, and they've been on death row longer than I've been alive. Like, that's just crazy to even think about.
And then you've got, like, a bunch of guys there, and is there somebody that just picks, like, so you got, let's say you got 100 guys in line. Is there just some judge that just decides, oh, he's going to be next?
I don't really know. I know it goes on based on this, like, you know, guys have open appeals or not. The governor that's in there right now, this is his second term. He's done next year. You know, he said when he came in office that there's going to be no executions unless they come up with a better method. And it all depends on who the next governor is once, you know, that election's dealt with. Death penalty, I'm sure y'all are aware, it's just a major political talking point, especially during election cycles.
How'd you feel about the death penalty before you ever got in trouble? Did you ever think about it? Or
I thought, and I believe me, I still do think that it should be reserved for the worst of the worst, especially if you do something to a kid.
Yeah.
Serial killer, stuff like that. I was out there and I saw somebody that was convicted for what I did and they got the death penalty. I'd probably say they probably deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
just being honest.
Yeah. And I know you've claimed your innocence through this all, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you did it or not. I wasn't at the trial. But I do have an open mind, and I know that the system can be not always, you know, accurate. I know there's been plenty of people that have been executed even, and they found out later. Oops.
So I know, you know, there's people on death row that probably aren't innocent, and it's just some serious bad luck to end up on there. Is there anything positive that you've gained since being on death row?
Yeah, I've picked up, like, just appreciation for little things, little moments in life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, being on death row is also helping my bullshit meter, to say, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all say, like, you know, there's people that have been, like, exonerated on death row. Like, since 2020, last I, if I'm counting correctly, there's been four guys in Ohio that have gotten off of death row and are now out there living their lives.
Oh, wow.
Because they were found not to be guilty of what they were convicted of. It's crazy, too, like how I say, like, the death penalty is a political talking point. And there's always more death penalty cases when there's an election cycle going on.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
When prosecutors and judges, after I was convicted and sentenced, the prosecutor, Dean Holman, he wrote a little interview in the newspaper, local newspaper in Medina County, saying he appreciates the jury for helping him get a conviction in a really circumstantial case, and he hopes that voters in November remember that. Well, karma sucks, and he lost his election that November. So I guess, like, to answer your question, like, it's definitely, like, more appreciation for the little things.
Yeah. And then, you know, do you have still, like, family and friends from back then that keep in contact with you?
I have an uncle and actually my mom's best friend.
Oh,
they actually know I didn't do this. Yeah, so they've been, you know, by my side the entire time. There's a pen pal group out of the UK called Human Rights that's strictly death penalty pen pals from, like, over, like, in Europe.
Oh, wow.
Actually, like, my first pen pal, her name was Libby. She lived in the UK, or lives in the UK. So, like, she came over here twice to see me.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
How long of a visit do you guys get?
They get special privileges, special visit accommodations. So it was like 6 hours for like three straight days.
That's pretty good.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually it's only 3 hours.
Let's give out your info again here, because we want to get people that want to write. And I know you've expressed to Anya and some of us, you want positive people in your life. And I don't know if you have, like, specific types you're looking for, but the best way to get in touch with Jimmy is gettingout.com or the Getting Out app. Just look for it's Ross Correctional is going to be the facility name in Ohio. You can type either James Tinch, or you can find him with the number A652-562. And then I don't know what's it, 10 or 20 cents a message or something. They can just start writing you immediately and you get the messages quick.
Yeah, it's like 10 cents, I think.
That's way cheaper than a stamp. I mean, a stamp's like damn near a dollar now.
Yeah.
So get on to gettingout.com and then and find him. And I know, like, sometimes the app can be a pain. A lot of people sometimes struggle with it, but just take like 5 minutes. Anyone out there, if you're like, oh, I can't just give it like 5 minutes and you'll get it figured out. There's a learning curve. Like Daisy and I now, we're like freaking experts on getting out.
True.
People overseas have a hard time figuring that out for some reason, too.
Yeah, sometimes they won't even allow them. They'll be like, oh, you don't have a valid driver's license. Or, they F with these people, man. It's crazy because I've seen that a lot. Like really nice people in London or wherever not. And they finally just give up and it sucks. I mean, it sucks for everybody.
Yeah.
On the show that we watched on Sunday on Evil Lives Here, they didn't talk about kind of your life before getting arrested too much. And I was curious about like who you were, you know, growing up. Did you work? Did you, what kind of friends you had? What were your hobbies and these sorts of things, if you could share?
I was always hanging with some buddies or kind of driving around in my truck or playing with my dogs or trying to stay out of bullshit. Unfortunately, that never really panned out too well. Bonfires, camping, fishing, going to concerts.
Another question that I had for you, because I feel like this interview wasn't really, or the on the show per se, it wasn't from your point of view of things, right? It was from what, you know, your sister said, how you were when you were young. But how was your relationship with your mom? Like, was it, would you say it was great, it was bad, or it was kind of good, kind of okay?
That's what's crazy about all this, because, like, if you ask people who actually, like, spend time with a mom, yeah, and spend time with me and my mom together, me and my mom had a good relationship. A lot of the narratives out there are from people that didn't really spend a whole lot of time with my mom.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen the interview yet. They're sending me a DVD so I can watch it. I know one thing that was said by my sister was, like, she said, like, I beat her and my mom. Let me make something very clear. Like, I have never put my hands on a woman. Ever. And for my sister to say that, yeah, when I was growing up, my dad was an abusive pill-popping alcoholic.
Oh, wow.
And there were a lot of times, like, my sister, because she had a mouth on her,
yeah,
same as my dad, like, she would instigate situations with my dad, like, in arguments and stuff. And, like,
yeah,
there'd be 1-2 weeks a month, like, almost every day, I'd be fighting my dad to protect my mom and my sister from him.
Yeah.
So, like, for, like, my sister to go and say, like, that I beat her and my mom, like, that's just an absolute lie.
Yeah.
I don't know if the reason or the purpose for her to even say something like that.
Yeah.
But it actually disgusts me.
I know Mother's Day just came a couple weeks ago. Was that tough for you?
Yeah, that's three hardest days of the year for me are, so her birthday, April 19th, Mother's Day, and then November 12th. Because that's the day everything happened.
When I was watching the show, I know it mentioned something about your alibi. I believe you had a girlfriend at that time and you were with her.
I wasn't with her when all this happened.
Yeah.
Or it was happening. I, like, how about, I don't know, 2 weeks before all this happened, like, I got a car, a little Hyundai,
uh-huh,
and my truck was just killing me on gas.
Yeah.
I was at her house. It was probably about an hour drive away.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it started snowing real heavy, and there was a big thing about supposedly how, like, it was weird because I left her house early and all this other stuff.
Oh,
I was supposed to work at 7 o'clock the next morning. I didn't have any of my work clothes, so, like, I left her house at, like, 9 that night.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I got to drive home, and I don't know how bad the roads are going to be and everything. So, in that little Hyundai, I didn't want to be stuck in the snow in it.
Yeah, of course.
There was a big deal, like, made, like, oh, I could have spent the night at her house. I had to work at 7 o'clock the next morning. And I didn't have any of, like, my work stuff with me.
Yeah.
So I couldn't have. So I got home about 10:30, to about an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
Or slow to drive home. And I let the dogs out, watched some TV, and they fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, woke up and had a missed call from my mom's phone. And, yeah, just started trying to find my mom. Cops, nobody seemed to want to take it seriously. But I wasn't with her. But, I mean, I was sending her text messages to her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let her know what was going on. But she wasn't, per se, like, you know, right there with me or anything like that.
No,
and, like, she lasted 3 days.
Oh, wow.
After I got locked up. She quickly ghosted me.
Oh, wow. That's intense.
How long had you guys been together?
Yeah, we got about 9 months before that. You know, well, before I got convicted, you know, when I was in the jail, I was, you know, getting letters from friends and stuff like that, people I thought were friends. And even, like, had, like, you know, a one friend, Felicia, and her mom came and testified. And then a buddy of mine, Brett, and then another friend, Sierra from Georgia, they drove up and testified. But, yeah, after I was convicted, they all disappeared.
Since you lived with your mom, you know, and, of course, you're proclaiming your innocence, do you have a clue, like, who could have done this to your mom? Do you think it was, like, something personal with somebody? Or you think it was just, like, this random person out there?
So I don't think it was random. Mm-hmm. I have an idea. But I don't want to be, like, you know, putting information out there.
Yeah.
And not having all the facts.
Let's say we don't need to know who or what your thoughts are, but if whoever that person or people are, and they happen to be listening, is there anything you'd like to say to them?
All right. So the person that I feel really strongly about who is involved, they already gave themselves away to me just out of certain actions and things they've said and done.
Yeah.
I know what they did and why they did it. And you just better hope to God that I don't get that new trial. Because if I get that new trial and this gets reversed, then you're going to be held accountable. Period.
Well said, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of, let's go back to your original trial. I'm guessing you had a public defender.
Terry O'Brien and Rhonda Kotnick, like, they are two world-class trash lawyers. They didn't want to listen to a damn thing. They didn't want to even give me the evidence against me so I could help them prepare for the trial. I told them they were going to need a cell phone expert for cell phone location purposes. They didn't get one. And when the cell phone location stuff was being testified to, and I knew what was being said is complete bullshit, they were like, hey, can you explain to us what's being said so we can know how to cross-examine the witness? I'm just going to sit here and keep taking notes. So when I do go through an appeal, I actually have a shot. Because
yeah.
With you two, I'm screwed either way. Like, they are trash. Terry O'Brien has five other inmates here on death row.
How much, before the trial, how much time did they actually spend? Like, did they sit down with you and go over everything? Or was it like a 5-10 minute meeting and then they're like, all right, thanks?
Well, I tried to fire them like about a month and a half before the trial started. Because I got sick and tired of them coming. Like, they would come on separate days. Like, one would come on Saturday, one would come on Sunday. They would not communicate with each other in between. And then, like, the next weekend, they would come see me again and, like, not remember anything that we talked about. They were just going through the motions, and they didn't take it seriously. Like, anything I said seriously, and any kind of alternative suspect or any kind of real defense, like, that I tried to push them to, you know, to look for, and the reasons why, they didn't seem like they were interested in it. Like, even after the trial was done, like, before the verdict, they were like, oh, we think there's a good chance you're going to be found not guilty. Ugh. I said, were you sitting in the same thing trial I was?
Yeah.
There's no way I'm found not guilty.
Wow.
There's no way. And I screw mitigation because I don't want to become one of 20,000 and not get attorneys. I want the death penalty so I can get Ohio public defenders actually wanted to try to give a shot at, you know, getting this case flipped.
Yeah.
It took me three sets of appeal lawyers before I actually got a lawyer that actually listened to me.
You would hope if you're a capital murder, death penalty case, whatever it is, you'd think they'd give you the best lawyer, right? Like, because you hear, you know, a lot of guys in county or whatever, and they're talking about their public defender and they call them public pretenders. And, you know, you hear stories where they're doing like 20 cases at the same time and they're making like $10 an hour. But man, you'd think with somebody's life on the line, whether or not they did it, that's not really relevant, but just give them a freaking defense. And dude, that's frustrating when they don't even listen. That's, or, you know, if they listen and forget everything, so they probably don't take notes.
Oh, they don't. And when we were doing jury selection, like, I was sitting between my attorneys and we were back in the jury room, and my one attorney, Rhonda Kotnick, she was on her laptop, and she's typing emails about other cases while we're doing jury selection, while we're selecting the people that we hope will give us a fair shot. But no, she's sitting there typing emails about other cases she's doing. Like, I was like, are you serious? And then the one juror, I told them they need to excuse for cause, like, get her the hell out of here. She worked for the prosecutor's office, and they let her be on the jury. Her name was Constance Gibson, and so I knew her being on the jury was already an issue. So we got an affidavit from another juror about during deliberations where this lady was saying that it's not like a puzzle. All the pieces don't have to fit. I work for the prosecutors. I know he's guilty. So everybody was just listening to her.
That's horrible.
So, I can't even imagine. Like, did she try to pull that, oh, I can be unbiased. I'll look at all the evidence fairly. It won't sway my decision. And she tells the judge all that crap, right?
Yeah. And I was like, as soon as she says she works with the prosecutors.
Man.
Like, that's hell horrible. No. You get so many preemptive challenges where you're like, you can just kick them out of there. There's no reason. Just preemptive challenge. Get her out of there. I don't care. You can have cops on the jury. I don't care. Not somebody that works with the prosecutor. So the problem, too, with death penalty cases, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you got a lot of jurors that don't really understand, like, the nuances and everything, like, they hear it's a death penalty case, so they're automatically thinking, like, in their head, there's so much, this must be a really bad case, they must have all this evidence already against them and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, go through, like, just, like, the ratio of death penalty cases getting overturned compared to just regular cases. The whole death penalty thing, it does, like, mind games with the jury. Like, they already automatically assume, like, you're, like, this terrible person, so you're already guilty.
Yeah.
It's just so horrible.
Yeah, it takes 10, 15, 20 years, sometimes more, for you get to like the district appellate court or an unbiased judge to actually like look at what you're doing and saying and say like, oh yeah, that stuff shouldn't have happened. Like the lead detective, I told him, the direction I drove when I went to drive and try to find my mom.
Yeah.
I said I got on Interstate 71 North at Route 303 in Brunswick, Ohio. And he said that he watched traffic camera video from that on-ramp and never saw my truck, so he knew I was lying. And he testified to this. Never showed the jury. So, one, if you look at this video, the angle the camera faces, you cannot see the on-ramp. So, one, you would never see my truck anyways.
Yeah.
Two, this crime happened November 12, 2013. The timestamp on the traffic camera video is December 2nd, 2010. So there is, it's 3 years prior.
Yeah.
He testified it was from that night. And like I said, there's a reason why they did not show the jury. Something so simple, like as a traffic camera video, like you testified that supposedly is true and all this other shit. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to lie about something like that, come on now.
Another question I had for you, was your relationship with your sister always kind of strained, or were you kind of surprised when she did this and said the things? I know you haven't seen it yet, but, you know, obviously she said some things, but were you guys ever at some point close, like growing up?
I always try to look out for my sister. She's very narcissistic. My sister was like always a hothead, and I did my best to look out for her, whether it be protecting her from my dad or, you know, just people in general. But it was hard to have a good relationship with her because she was always trying to manipulate people and get over on people.
Hey, I think, I don't know how much time, I don't want to run out of time before we give you the chance to just tell everybody who's listening kind of what type of pen pals and friends you'd like to have write you, as specific or as general as you want to be. And then, I don't know, tell them a couple, something about yourself that they might find interesting, like hobbies or something that they might be like, ooh, I watched that show also.
I'm basically just, look, I don't care who the person is, or male, female, like, I don't care. I mean, as long as, like, you're, like, a positive person, and, like, I got enough stress and stuff in here to worry about and stuff I got going on, like, I want to talk to people and, like, you know, have friendships with people, like, to get away from this crap and get away from the stress. Like, I want to be a positive person in their life, and, like, I want, you know, people to be, like, you know, positive for me. I like tattoos. I got 3 since I've been locked up. TV, Big Bang Theory is always good. Yellowstone.
Daisy got me watching Yellowstone, man, a few months ago, and she's like, oh my God, you got to watch this.
Yeah, so I'm a super fan.
And then my wife was out of town, like she seems to be almost always now. And so I was like, this is awesome. And watched, I don't binge that thing, man. That's a great show.
It's a good show. I just finished watching the season finale.
Oh man, don't spoil it. I don't want to hear that.
I won't.
I don't want to spoil it.
Pretty shocking.
Yeah, so they can get in touch. So we'll give out your address, James Tench, A652-562, Ross Correctional Institution, 884 Coitsville Hubbard Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44505. But the better way is just go to gettingout.com or download the app. And I tell you what, the app is just like a million times easier to use than the desktop version.
100%.
The desktop version, you might as well just throw your desktop in the trash because that's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
But get on your phone, on your cell phone, get on that app and just type James Tench, Ross Correctional in Ohio, and fork out that freaking 10 cents. Don't be a cheap bastard, right? Just pay the 10 cents to write to Jimmy, right? It's not that expensive. I mean, a freaking a Big Mac now is like $12. You can fork out 10 cents for an email.
Yeah, because like that address you gave them, like that's like a mail processing center. So like all the mail from like the entire state of Ohio goes there. And like they supposedly open it and scan it and like I get it on my tablet. But like I got a letter from somebody a month ago that supposedly sent me 4 letters previously that I never even got. So like it's garbage, like the mail processing center. You got better chances for me to get little messages on getting out than you do sending an actual letter.
Oh, for sure.
You might have a better chance just attaching the message to a pigeon and say, take this to Jimmy.
Yeah, you probably do.
It's been great talking with you. I think we're going to run out of time, but thanks so much for sharing, you know, your perspectives. And I think people will find this really interesting, and we're hoping they'll want to get to know more about you. If you want to see the story, Evil Lives Here, the Killer Speaks, Season 2, Episode 4, which you can stream, or you can go to penpals.buzz and find you on our site and see your artwork is on there, which is cool. I love that one with the freedom on it. You got a photo of you and some other information as well.
I appreciate y'all.
Keep in touch with us.
Yeah, definitely.
Wishing positive vibes.
Positive, positive only.
Positive vibes, positive energy.
Thank you for using GTL.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. Penpals.buzz is a division of SnapTura Inmate Services.